Welcome back to Scrawl Radio here on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. If you were watching on the webcam, which I really sincerely recommend you do, you just saw, especially Rima and I, just really like rocking out pretty hard.
I know, we should have done a performance of that for the pennies.
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
Would you like to just do a duet of Bugaboo tomorrow?
A little bit.
Like, have it no connection whatsoever to the writing center. Like, let's just sing the song Bugaboo.
In front of yeah. We'll just relate it back to Scrawl.
Like, we played this on Scrawl yesterday, so here is Bugaboo.
You guys wouldn't need to practice.
No.
I just saw it happen before my eyes.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Do it live.
Yes, Bill O'Reilly style. All right. So, did you anyone know that reference?
Yes, anyway, I totally know it.
Thank you.
I got it.
Okay, so we're back on Scrawl Radio here with we have our guest today is Megan Deppen, who is the former co-host of the show, but really today's episode is all about our beloved Rima Mandwi, whose final episode of Scrawl is today. And we thought it would be appropriate because Rima's such a boss to just sort of talk about how, like, navigating a, you know, a male dominated, you know, patriarchal workforce potentially as a woman and like sort of asserting yourself. So, like, before we go too far into like those specifics, just you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, you're graduating, what's coming up next for you?
Yeah, so I'll be graduating in what, 2 weeks? Like 16 days, I think.
I can't.
I know. And I start my new job June 28th, so about 2 weeks after we graduate. The job is in Kalamazoo, Michigan, so I'll be moving out of Chicago, which I'm very sad to do, but I'm very excited about this new chapter. I'm going to be doing, my official title is property manager and PR manager for a company called Karsten LLC and like their associates. And so basically what I'll be doing is there's a local businessman in Kalamazoo who basically has become very successful and has a lot of business, and it's kind of just becoming too much for him to handle. So he's hiring me as his property manager, but he's never had a property manager before. So it's kind of cool because I'm being put in a position that I get to create. So it gives me a lot of flexibility and a lot of, you know, opportunity to learn. And so I'll be managing commercial and residential properties, about 40 to 50 different leases, which includes, there's a landscaping company, there's a few restaurants, there's some stores. One of them, they sell like fish and like little aquarium tanks and stuff.
Oh
yeah. It's
so
super
like as
random.
Pets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, and then they're also opening up a new plaza, that's going to have like 11 stores in it. And so I have to kind of work with the city.
Oh, really? What could you tell us what that plaza is called?
It's called Crosstown Commons.
Oh my God. Where did that name come from?
Oh, I thought of it.
Oh my God. Next time you're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you drive by the Crosstown Commons, know that Rima Mandwi named that shopping plaza.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, my project for the year basically is to do that entire project. I kind of have to finish doing everything with the city and then get the leases set up for the people, like the new tenants, basically the new businesses that will be coming in there. So I'm very excited. And then I'll be doing PR for all of the businesses everywhere from like social media to email blasts and all that stuff. So it's going to be super fun. I'm moving in with my sister. I'm very excited.
Yay.
And I told them, I mean, in theory, I told them I'd give them a year, maybe two if I super love it. But long term, I would like to go get my master's. So I'm hopefully applying to get a master's at like Columbia, New York. I would like to go into public administration and foreign policy.
And so, did you...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Did you see yourself in a position like this 4 years ago when you started?
Oh, never. I never in a million years thought that I would move back to Kalamazoo because that's where I was born and raised. And I was very worried for some reason when the opportunity came up that I was like, well, what if it looks like weird that I'm moving back home, but I'm not moving with my parents and I'm not moving home because I like dropped out of school. I'm moving home with a degree and like a full-time salary benefits job. So I was like, you know, I think that things could be worse. And the cost of living is so much cheaper in Kalamazoo that I'm like, I don't mind paying $400 a month for rent. I really don't.
Rima before the show was telling us about her apartment that she's getting in Kalamazoo, and then she said like, oh yeah, and it's $900, and we were all just like, oh, that, what a great deal, 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. And then she said that that's how much she's paying total, so
we
that
split.
It's being split between her and her sister, so that's $450 per month for a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment.
With a pool and laundry and
a fireplace and a deck and
a workout gym. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole nine
yards. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chicago. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I know a lot of people who are like, well, I would never want to leave the city. And I think that like, I love Chicago and I love living in cities, but you know, it doesn't hurt to go and get a good job and save up some money and live in a quaint town for a little bit.
Super responsible.
I did feel like I was taking the responsible route. I had some job offers here in Chicago too, but I didn't really love them as much as I really like the idea of taking on this position because one, I will be working with a lot of men and I'm obviously the youngest person who works for them. Cause a lot of these people are also my father's business partners. So it's kind of cool because like they saw me grow up and now I'm one of their associates. Like I'm one of their business partners. So there was a lot of merit that came with this position. And like these men have to not only respect me for like my age, but also as being a woman who is in a a position of power with these companies. So that's what really drew me. Yeah, that's really drew me to the position. And because I would be creating the position, it gives me a lot of space to like be creative and kind of prove that I can create a system and create a position rather than just filling a position, which is the opportunities that I had in Chicago, which I'm so thankful for all of them, but this felt right for me at this point in my life. Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I mean, have you thought about any aspects? Like you were going to be working with a lot of men. Have you thought about like, are you worried about like sexism or something? Or have you thought about how you might handle it? And
very, very much actually. Just because not only am I working with a lot of men, but I'm also working with a lot of men and no, there are no other women really involved in this.
Wow.
Except I know that some of the businesses, like their GMs are women. So I'll be working with them, but like all of these GMs respond to their owners who are men. So I think it'll be really interesting, not only in the gender roles, but also in the age, because I'm right out of college. They're gonna be like, well, you're not as experienced, but I bring so much to the table as far as like, I've lived in a big city and I got, you know, a wonderful education at this private university. And so it's kind of because I have this experience and this rapport, they're going to respect me. But I think that me being a woman is like one of on their as far as they're concerned, probably one of my cons. Mm. So I'm really interested to take this opportunity to prove to them that just because I'm a woman doesn't mean that I can't be like on equal playing field with all of these men and these business owners.
Yeah.
And I guess I present this question to all three of you. Do you find yourself having to go into job searches or like does the idea of going into the professional workforce, do you have that attitude? Like that attitude of just like, I have to prove myself rather than I'm just going to do my job?
100%
for me. I think I go back and forth between like feeling that I need to prove myself and also just like feeling that I need to prove myself because I'm a woman and just feeling that I need to prove myself as like a candidate for a job. Yeah, and I think like looking at it more like that helps me to take gender out of it and view myself on an equal playing level with everyone else as I am and as we all are, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been really fortunate in every job I've had. I've never really felt like that, like put down beneath any of my, you know, male coworkers or like supervisors. So I think maybe if I do face that in the near future, that will be definitely a learning experience for me. Cause it's interesting that like from my experience, no, I have never once really considered like my gender when applying for a job, or at least I say that, but maybe in the back of my mind I have, but I'm not remembering it. But I don't know. I think it's interesting then to, if we were to compare like every work experience we've had and then, you know, thinking, well, I guess when I think back, there has been my first job, one of, someone that I worked with was fired because they were saying really rude things about me to other coworkers and my boss fired them.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because they were like being kind of sexist, like
catty.
Gross.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, but that was way back when, but since then, I don't know if we were to compare all of our work experiences and see like where it has taken place and like what work environment and what field.
Definitely. I mean, I've definitely not had any experience like that at the Elko Bowl. That's 100%. And want to make that very clear. I've never had that problem at the Elko Bowl, but moving forward with this other job, I do know, like I've talked to some of the other GMs who are like working with some of the businesses that I'll be doing PR for. And I definitely know that some of them have felt some grievance, like if they were males, they would be respected more. Or like I know in one of the businesses, there's a woman who's technically the manager, but there's kind of like a supervisor who's a male, and like people in the business don't know who is above who as far as like the hierarchy in the business goes. And it is very clearly stated that she is the GM, it is the owner and then the GM and then the supervisor, but people still tend to treat the supervisor as if he's equal with the GM. Mm. And I do know in some of the business, they have problems where some of the employees have told me like women are saying that they get paid less than the men. And I'm very excited to go in there and like kind of put my foot down and be like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing the same job. You have to pay them the same amount. And I know a lot of the men that I'm working with are kind of very like, shh, shh, shh. Why are you bringing this up? Why are you causing problems? Don't cause controversy. And I'm like, no, we're not. That's not how we're going to do things anymore. Like, we have to be transparent. And I think that half of that is they might see me as this very liberal person because I'm from a city, but half of it is like, well, you're like too much of a feminist. And I'm very excited to take this opportunity to kind of change their mind about like what a feminist is and what that means.
Right.
And like, just because I'm a feminist doesn't mean I'm radical. This is literally just about equality. If they're putting in the same work, then they should get the same pay.
Yeah.
Do you think, go ahead, Megan.
I was going to ask, like, how do you have that conversation in a professional environment? Because I think if you're talking with, like, you know, your equal or your peers and kind of like a academic environment, that's a established space for discussion. Yeah. But in a professional atmosphere where technically they're paying you,
right,
you know, you are, you know, their employee, like, how would you like approach that conversation? Or I guess in any terms, like, if any of us are in a professional environment and we feel that like what you're doing is not right, how do you approach that in a professional way?
Well, I was telling them a little bit earlier about this before the show started, but I have my own office and then I have a conference room, and I'm going to be setting up a system for all of these businesses where they will be meeting with each one of the businesses each month to discuss like their monthly earnings, where money was spent, how things went, what was good and what was bad. And so I think those are the prime opportunities when you're already having a conversation about what should change in the business and what should stay constant. So like in my head, I'm imagining, say in like one of those meetings, maybe they're talking about, well, you know, we like made, you know, our sales went up this month and, you know, now we have some extra money lying around in this department. And like, should we put that money toward advertising? Should we put that money toward maybe new products or whatever? To me, I'm going to look for those opportunities to be like, hey, maybe we should put that toward wage. Maybe we should put that toward labor. Like, I think that some people underestimate that if you pay people more, they do take their job more seriously. And that might seem shallow to some people, but that's true. Like, you're going to work as hard as, like, if they're paying you more, you're like, wow, they're paying me a lot. Like, I have to live up to this expectation of what I'm getting paid. So those are the opportunities where I'd be like, hey, if you have extra money in the budget, you should put that toward, you know, obviously your employees are the ones who are working and giving you this, like, the sales numbers have gone up because of their hard work. So you should pay that back. And so I would kind of take one of those opportunities to be like, hey, you need to pay the women, at least match them to the men. Mm-hmm. And like, if you have money in the budget for that. So I think that's like a professional environment where you're talking numbers.
Yeah.
And then it's not as much of like a gender social issue as much as it is like, well, this is how the budget is right now.
Right.
From your own experience, just from our listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with the topic, like, aside from pay wage, what other ways do you think there's inequality in the workforce between men and women?
I think that a lot of the inequality comes from like the designated tasks, which seems like really arbitrary. And that's why it's so hard to change, because you can't really measure it. But just the idea of like, you know, and the restaurants are kind of an interesting thing, because in the home, it's expected that women would cook. But at a restaurant, you're probably going to have a male head chef, which is kind of interesting. But even the idea of like men will work behind the bar or work in the kitchen and the women are the servers. Mm-hmm. Even that kind of a role. Like, I think that it says a lot to go to a restaurant and see just as many male servers as you do female, because then it's not that idea of like, well, naturally women are the one who are serving you food. Mm-hmm. And even in positions where it's like, you know, if there are men who would be carrying things, like one of our businesses is a fine wine shop, and they have like cheeses and fine chocolates and stuff like that. It's men who are like, you know, carrying the boxes of the cases of beer and putting them on the shelf. And it's the women who are standing behind the register because men carry the boxes. You know, I think that those are the types of positions where it's like, you know, I can pick up a box. Mm-hmm. I can do it. And if I can't, then like, that's what we have those cart things for. I'm like, if you're not carrying it like a mile, you're carrying it out to someone's car. It's a case of wine. Like, yeah. I'm a full grown adult that can carry a case of wine. Like, those are the kind of positions where it's like, let women work the floor and let men work at the register. Like, just being able to mix it up so that it's not set gender roles. Those are the problems that I see more so than just wage.
Yeah.
How much of that do you think, you mentioned a little bit earlier about like people might have a perception of you because of the city.
Yeah.
How much do you think those roles, or even like the, I don't know, just any of the things you talk about, how much do you think of that is based in like city life versus like Kalamazoo or something, which is not as, you know, urban?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is based on like the culture of that space. And I think that says, you know, in Chicago, it's in cities that those norms don't exist as much. I think that they might exist within particular neighborhoods, but in a city, it's so much more of like you're just out there to work. It doesn't really matter. And for these businesses, they're at the point where they have so much business that it's like, I don't care if you're a male or a female or an alien. Mm-hmm. I need someone to work. Like, I need help with the business. Whereas I think that in a smaller town like Kalamazoo, and Kalamazoo is not that small, it's probably 350,000 population. But I think in that type of area where it's so much smaller and people kind of know people, especially working for a family business, that it's a lot more about reputation. Mm. And it's a lot more about kind of like keeping up with the Joneses and being traditional, because there is a genuine risk of like, if there are people who are very conservative and traditional and don't like seeing a male as their server, what if they don't come to your business because of it? You know, so there's so many more consequences. It's not just about being equal, but like, well, what if it impacts your business? Which mm-hmm. is sad, but you can't actually change the minds. Like, how do you go into the consumer's mind and be like, well, you need to be okay with these. Mm-hmm. That's so it's a lot bigger challenge than just changing the way that the business is run.
Right. Right. Well, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about how the Writing Center has influenced your future and what skills you'll take from your tutoring experience and anything that you've done at the Writing Center into the future. And, you know, you've already mentioned that, like, you have felt totally supported and equal as a woman mm-hmm. at the Writing Center, which is, you know, hooray.
Yeah, awesome.
We do have three women directors.
I was going to say, I think that there's certainly excellent female leadership at the Writing Center. So, you know, what do you take with you from your experience as at the Equable?
Well, I think that the biggest thing I've gained at the Equable, and even from Scrawl, is being able to come into a situation and like, here's the subject, what do you do? Go. And we did that a lot with Scrawl, where it would be like, okay, well, here's an idea that I want to talk about. Okay, let's brainstorm. How can we make this about writing? How can we make this relevant? And so I think in business, it's like, okay, well, maybe here's a holiday. How can we bring this into the restaurant? How can we market this so that it becomes like a PR strategy? How do we make this like a sale event? And so when I'm working with tutors, you go into an appointment, and if they don't write anything in their log or their appointment record, it's like, okay, so what are we working on? I'm going to be talking about my application to med school and biomedical sciences. Well, I don't know anything about that. So let's think on our toes. Let's think of how this is going to become relevant, and being able to work with a myriad of topics and subjects that are just kind of thrown at you. And I know in this position, because I'm managing so many different properties and businesses, like I said, one is landscaping. There's a Middle Eastern restaurant. There's like a wine shop. There's a store that they sell like fish. And I have to do PR for all these people. So it's kind of like, okay, well, this is the new business that we have. So figure out the campaign strategy, figure out the PR. And I'm going to be like, I will no longer be like, oh God, what do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do. I don't know anything about this. You know? I've kind of learned from the Writing Center, like, there is, you can go back to the core and the basics of any subject. Like, the content may be different, but the way that you approach writing, you still need an intro. You still need a strong thesis. You still will organize it the same way. And so I think that by having that inherent structure, when I go into a Writing Center appointment, I'm like, okay, well, let's first look at the organization and the structure. And by the time you get past that, you learn a little bit more about the content. You become more familiar with what's in the paper. And then you're like, okay, let's talk content. This makes sense. This doesn't. So that's very, very much going to help me. And they absolutely told me that part of the reason they hired me is because, one, they said that my writing skills were really, really impressive. But two, the fact that a lot of the men that I'm working with, they have trouble communicating and they have trouble writing professionally. Mm. So very often they will send me like an email and they're like, hey, I need to write this very important letter to someone in the city or to another business person. Can you give me some feedback? Can you help me like make it sound a little more professional? So they love when I give them, especially I've done feedbacks before for, cause I've done a little bit of work for them before I even have started, and I'll give them marginal comments and leave end notes, like the way that I would do written feedback. And they're like, wow, that was so thorough. Thank you so much. Like, how did you learn to do that? I'm like, I don't know. I just picked it up at my job. I don't know. This is what I do for a living.
I took a class, whatever.
It's casual. It's definitely the Writing Center and the skills I've gained here have gotten me so far, even in my other internships and jobs in Chicago. And I think it'll take me so far, even in like applying to a master's program. Like, I have eternal thanks.